Alrighty. Happy fifth Sunday to you. Happy birthday to my son, if he happens to be watching online. We sent our oldest off to college a couple of weeks ago. Today's his birthday, and he is not with us. He's off at college, and so happy birthday, son, if you're watching. It's good to see my smiling daughter over here. We've got the kids with us this morning, which means I have to be more animated than usual and shorter than usual. Not like that, but yes, I get it. So, some friends sent us a list yesterday of the craziest names in college football, and of course, somebody with my last name is represented in the list. So, the importance of a name. How many of you, hey kids, so by the way, parents, adults, everybody else, I'm going to talk to the kids, but you're welcome to listen, okay? So kids, do you like your name? That's the question. Do you like your name? That's good. Most people don't get to choose their own names, right? Most of us, it's like given to us. Our parents picked it for us. Sometimes you get a name that you don't like. But the God who created all things, got to choose his own name. There was no one to name the God who created all things. And we actually sang his name in a song a few minutes ago. Yahweh, can you say it with me? Yahweh. Try it again. Yahweh. Adults. Yahweh. Okay. And did you know that it's not even an English word? It's a Hebrew word. We're not even exactly sure that's how you pronounce it, but that's a pretty good guess. And it means something like the one who is. You know what your names mean? Anybody know what your name means? Okay. Leona. Cool. Very cool. Of course. Yahweh means something like the one who is, or maybe even the one who causes to be. How cool would that be if your name meant the one who causes to be? Well, Yahweh chose his own name. And let me give you, which, by the way, this is the end of the series through Exodus. We're ending it this morning. We're going to be in Exodus chapter 34. If you want to look it up in a Bible and follow along, I'm just going to read a few verses here in a minute. But let me catch you up on the story, okay? Long ago, the God who rescued the children of Israel out of Egypt brought them to a mountain where he wanted to show and tell people about himself. Anybody do show and tell? Yeah. It's pretty fun, right? It's one of the best days of school, show and tell. You get to bring the stuff you like. Well, God wanted to show and tell his people about himself. And he spoke with a booming voice, and it made the mountain where they were shake and smoke. But what he said wasn't scary. What he said was actually good and hopeful. He said things like this to his people. He said, "You're my treasure. You're a kingdom of priests. You are a holy nation." He said, "I expect you to keep me as your only God. I'm not showing you what I look like so that you won't try to copy how I look with images that would insult me." God said, "I already made my image." Do you know what the image of God is? Look beside you. No, really, look beside adults. This would be you too. If you've never seen God, one of the closest things you'll get to seeing is a human being made in God's image. God said to his people, "You must act like you represent me at all times. You carry my name." And that's an important phrase. We're used to the adults for a second. We're used to the commandment, "You shall not take up the name of the Lord your God in vain," the name of Yahweh in vain. And we think of it as like swearing. But it's a much bigger idea than that. He's saying, "You carry my name. Don't make it worthless." That's going to be very important here in a minute, okay? Talking about taking up and carrying something, being responsible for something. He says, "You must act like you represent me at all times. You carry my name." And then God said to his people, "Since I rested after 6 days of creating everything, I expect you to allow everyone to rest on the Sabbath day. I expect you to treat your parents, your husband or your wife, your neighbors, and even your neighbor's stuff with respect." So the God of Israel said they needed to obey his instructions and he would take care of them. Yahweh had to train the Israelites how to live near him with honor and with safety. So he called a private meeting with Moses to share the heavenly design for a, where do kings and queens usually live? Anybody?
A castle.
A castle. What's another name for a castle, a fancy house? What you got? A palace. So God called a special meeting with Moses to create a mobile palace for himself among his people. Thank you. That was not a plant. She just knew. She just knew. And there was this long personal meeting, and while the meeting went really long, this personal meeting between Moses and Yahweh about how to build this mobile palace out of fancy materials, the people of Israel got impatient, and they came up with their own plan. And they created an idol to try to represent the God who brought them out of Egypt. But what did Yahweh say about having other images? Anybody remember? Was it okay to have other images, other idols to represent him? No. I still have one kid with me. Thank you, Leona. So the story in Exodus that we're going to read here in a few minutes, it sits between the meeting with all the plans and the actual construction of the mobile palace. Moses pleads with God not to destroy the whole nation, but he does punish the people for their rebellion. Some of them do die because of their sin. And as we read the story, we get the idea that this is an ongoing problem. Israel will continue to ignore God's instructions and to do whatever they wished. And not just Israel, lots of us, we humans. God even told Moses in their personal meeting, he says, if I decide to stay with Israel in this mobile palace, their stubbornness will get them killed. But as Moses begs God to stay with his people, God shows Moses, the Israelites, and everyone who reads this story that we're reading, how a holy God can live near stubborn and rebellious people. Anybody know anyone who's stubborn? You want to, don't point to him. I point to one. Okay, I'm going to read a few verses from Exodus chapter 34. So we've caught up on the story. This is where God is going to show and tell who he is, okay? It says, the Lord said to Moses, this is Exodus 34, starting in verse 1. I'm reading from the ESV today, which, by the way, in the memory verse, did you see at the bottom the letter said NIRV? Stands for New International Reader's Version, which is like the NIV, but kind of a reading level that's more elementary school age. Did you know it's okay to read Bibles that are kind of different levels of translation? It's okay. It's okay. Okay, I'm reading one that's actually like high school level today, just because. Exodus 34, starting in verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, cut for yourself two tablets of stone like the first, and I will write. Hear that? God says, I will write on the tablets the words that were on the first tablets, which you broke. Be ready by the morning and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself there to me on the top of the mountain. No one shall come up with you, and let no one be seen throughout all the mountain. Let no flocks or herds graze opposite that mountain. So Moses cut two tablets of stone like the first, and he rose early in the morning and went up Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hands the two tablets of stone. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, and it says the Lord, the Lord. And I'm going to say in Hebrew that it's the word, it represents the word Yahweh, his name that he chose for himself. Again, a Hebrew word. Say it with me, Yahweh. Say it again, Yahweh. Okay, that's what's going on when you see the Lord in all capital letters in your English Bibles. So it's Yahweh, Yahweh, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. Moses quickly bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. And he said, if now I have found favor in your sight, O Lord, please let the Lord go in the midst of us, for this is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and sin, and take us for your inheritance. Okay, so kids, I want to look at those words that Yahweh used to describe himself, okay? He says, Yahweh, Yahweh, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. And that's kind of the big idea. It's generally good and warm toward his people. But there's some tension. He's maintaining steadfast love to thousands, and I would use this phrase, taking up iniquity, transgression, and sin, but he doesn't cancel punishment, visiting the iniquity of fathers on sons and on grandchildren on the third and fourth generations. So as you heard the big idea, and then you heard that kind of teasing out about, what about sin? How can God love and be patient while also punishing sin? That doesn't make sense. There are themes that don't hold together easily. So it's important to keep in mind that this verse, these words about God, get repeated about God in many other books of the Bible. I was going to put them on the screen, but there's so many it would be overwhelming. If you want a list of all the places where this verse is either quoted directly or kind of repackaged with the same verbiage in a different form, just come see me afterward. I'd be glad to, or you can look it up online because Google knows stuff. It's really important that this comes to be the way they describe God, okay? So let me unpack that. First off, I've already explained that Yahweh, what Yahweh's name means, but then he describes himself as a God who is merciful and gracious. So unlike the gods of the other nations, Yahweh is merciful. The way that a good mom feels about her baby, God feels about his people. He's tender toward our weakness. He cares a lot when we're sad. God is bothered when other people take advantage of his people. Through all that God's people face, he gets us. He's merciful. Also, unlike the gods of other nations, Yahweh is gracious. He enjoys helping his people do well in life. God doesn't tolerate his people. He enjoys his people. He's generous. He pays attention to his people. A lot of us get the idea because we've had dads or seen kind of a male authority figures who don't have time for us. That's not God. He's gracious. He pays attention to his people. He gives more and above and beyond what we ask or think. Whatever else God's people face, God is for us. He's merciful. He's gracious. Then it says he's slow to anger. And this is kind of a fun one. Everybody do like this. See, the adults are still listening. Everybody do like this. In Hebrew, the way that it describes someone becoming angry is your nose gets hot. You ever been so mad you can feel it in your face? You're like, I am now. Get me out of here. If your nose gets hot, that's in the ancient biblical language, that's the way of picturing, like physically, what it looks like for someone to get angry. So right here, it's saying that Yahweh himself is long of noses. He's slow to anger. God's people let him down. Even at our best, we sin against him. And when we're feeling off on a bad day, we can be just awful rebels, right? Adults? Yes. And though we know God could send us away, he's patient with us. He's slow to anger. Then he describes himself as overflowing or full of steadfast love and faithfulness. The word for steadfast love, you want to learn another Hebrew word today? It's kind of fun to say, and you almost have to cover your mouth. You ready? Chesed. You want to try it? Chesed. Yeah. It means, sometimes it's translated steadfast love, sometimes loyal love. He's the kind of God who keeps promises. It's not just the mushy kind, it's the kind that makes promises and follows through. On good days and on the worst days, Yahweh still loves his people. We know that we can be hard to love, even we can be unlovable sometimes. But Yahweh keeps his promises. He abounds in love because God is love, right? He's also faithful. Anything Yahweh has said was and remains faithful. The sun rises because Yahweh is faithful. The waves of the sea splash against the shore, and plants grow because God is faithful. When he speaks, what God says is faithful and doesn't change. We might even say that Yahweh's faithfulness is so faithful that the things that come out of his mouth are truth. He's abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. So that raises the question that God answers in the second part. If God is patient, loving, and compassionate, and he gets us and he's for us, how does our sin even matter? Why would we worry about the wrong things we do? And the second part of the way God describes himself talks about how sin matters, but isn't a deal breaker. Yahweh works out his loyal love for thousands by taking up his people's wrongdoing. And it says iniquity, transgression, and sin. Three different kinds of wrongdoing, you might say. And when we read the word forgives, it maybe doesn't clarify so much. Because a couple of words later, it says he doesn't leave the guilty unpunished. And so that can be a little confusing. How could he forgive but not leave the guilty unpunished? Not confusing, adults? A little confusing? So how about this? There are at least six different words in Hebrew, and I recounted this morning, and I got up to about nine different words in Hebrew about dealing with sins so that those sins are no longer a problem for us. At least nine different words. Things like taking up our sin, the word used here, pardoning our sin, covering our sin, atoning for our sin, removing our sin from us, wiping us clean, not remembering our sins against us, cleansing or purifying us, and even the phrase passing over sin. Those are the ones that I've found so far. A bunch of different ways that talks about dealing with sin. So sometimes I like to use my imagination to help me understand things. So the way God describes it here is the way that he had said to the Israelites, I don't want you to take my name in vain. I don't want you to take it up. I've given it to you. I've called you by my name, and I want you to bear it responsibly. You wear my name. And here he's saying, I take up your sin. I'll deal with it. Does that make sense? The similarity? Like, this is your responsibility. You take it up and you deal with it. When God takes up our sin, yes, there's pardoning, there's covering, there's removing it from us. There are all the other things he can do. But he's saying, I'm the God who wants to be near you, and I realize your sin is going to be the problem, and so I'll take care of it. God can deal with our sins in ways that keep us close to him. He is patient. He doesn't remember our sins against us. He separates us from our sins as far as the east is from the west. He pardons us. He trains us to walk in his ways, and he punishes our rebellion when he needs to do that. Okay, I'm almost done. You ready? Any of you go to camp this summer? Remember going to Camp Copus? You remember we had a memory verse of the week? Anybody still remember that? Gavin probably still remembers it. Some of the incoming sixth graders. So it went something like this, and it actually used the words from this passage. You remember? You want to do it? If you remember it, you can stand up and do it with me. No? They're all, okay. It goes like, okay, Gavin's going to join me on stage. Okay, it goes like this, right? The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy never come to an end. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Lamentations 3, 22, and 23. And then what? Mavadwa! Thank you, Gavin. You guys got it, right? I was so busy watching him, but you all got it, I'm sure. So the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies are new every morning. They never come to an end. Great is your faithfulness. And we see that, of course, in Jesus preeminently. Let's pray. Kids, you've done well. Let's pray. God, we see in these words, or maybe we hear in these words, who you are. And like Moses, we're amazed, we're overwhelmed, and maybe we should even take time and kneel down. We confess that our